Jay, you want?
Gracious heavenly Father, Lord, again, it is another honor and privilege, God, that we can be back in your house again today, Lord. Father, we can be here to worship in spirit and in truth, Lord. Just thank you for all the blessing, life, Lord, for all you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, for your love, your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we ask you just be with us this service today. Just be Brother Jay, God, just go in for the power on high. God, just give the words we need. We can buy these words on a day to walk with thee. Draw us stronger and closer to you, Lord. Be a better witness and a better servant, Lord. We can see people saved. Lord, for
this time, I'll take a prayer request. We're going to have an altar of prayer here in a few minutes. Does anyone have a spoken prayer request this morning?
I have a special one spoken, and my mom is not doing well. If you would just have prayers for her.
Okay. Someone? Anyone else have spoke? We've got much need to pray about this morning, so each one at will, let's come. We'll get around the altar. We'll have an altar of prayer. Let's remember Brother Jake this morning also. God will use him this morning. Brother Tim Irwin, if he would leave some prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all of this.
Where are they going to stand? Right here, Tam? Right here. Is that good?
That'd be good. We got one more. We'll put it aside.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
I'm standing right here like I did last time. You in the bed right there.
Yes. And there's three of you guys. Hello. Yeah, this went on. I'll have to stand like this. Is this one?
I'm singing my heart out!
this time we're going to have our youth to come and sing for us. And I'll let Sister Penny and Jackie, the Patch program, and they're going, the youth's going to sing for us.
We're told by prophecy. God's beloved burn of a virgin sent to offer hope to a man. Shepherds come and bow before him, see salvation's plan. A wondrous night, the star is shining bright, sending babe so small, was a loving God in heaven, now in cattle stall. A wondrous night, the star is shining bright, sending light to a weary
bye-bye.
Can you hear me? I think you can hear me. All righty. Good morning. Didn't they do such a great job with those songs? Give them another hand. That was a really good job, honeys. So I want to talk to you this morning. You didn't know that you were about to get a free health class, but I'm about to give you a free health class. Free of charge, how to lose weight, live healthier with Reverend Jake. You ready? Here we go. If I could title the message this morning, it would be How to Get Strong. Free of charge, you can write down an 8-week plan. I'll give you a diet plan after it. No, I'm joking. But how to get strong. So go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. James is a little tiny book after the book of Hebrew. And go ahead and stand when you get there. James chapter 1. We're just going to read two little verses. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. This morning. If there was a more relevant, this is one of the most relevant books in the Bible as into Christian living today to help us live and how to act as a Christian and be as a Christian and talk to people and minister to people, this book is it. He's very blunt, he's very to the point, and we'll talk about why in a minute. But James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation." Another word for that is when you fall into various trials. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to come to Marbleton this morning and preach, God. And I pray that you, God, that we'll just see you, Lord, that you will just bless the people here, Lord, that you'll strengthen us, God. You'll help us to get strong, Lord. And you know that that's not easy, Father. But I pray that your Holy Spirit will just be here this morning, that he'll be active and present, God. Holy Spirit, just come bless us this morning, God. Bless people who are hurting. Bless people who are lonely. Bless people who need a touch from heaven this morning, God. Thank you so much for each person here, Father. Just bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So I've recently turned over a new leaf in life. If you know me, you know that I would be the last person that would ever run for exercise. And even more, the last person that would ever go to the gym for exercise. But here we are. It's a new day. I recently started running and I've been to the gym a few times with some friends from church. I have a new respect for those people. If you've ever been to the gym, maybe it's the people that I'm going with. It's tough. Especially since you've never done it. I've never lifted weights, never done anything like that. But we recently started going, and they do all these curls and dumbbells and squats and sits and rollovers and all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what that stuff is. But the ideal way to get fit or to be in shape, it consists of three things. First, you have to have a good diet. You can't eat donuts all the time and expect to be in shape. As much as I would love that, it doesn't work that way. You have to have a good balanced diet of carbs and proteins and greens and all that good stuff. And a balanced diet is so important to be healthy and to be in shape. But also, you're supposed to run. Yeah, I said it. You're supposed to run. You're supposed to exercise and run, just run for exercise. That doesn't sound too exciting, but if you just run for exercise, then you're never gaining muscle. Your muscles will be stronger, but you're never gaining muscle weight. It slims you down and you become more lean, but when you add going to the gym to that and lifting weights to those three things, you've built the perfect combination to get healthy, to be in pristine physical condition and weigh how much you want to weigh and look the way you want to look. But you have to have all three of those. And for me, eat right, whatever. I'm still 19. I can kind of still eat whatever and it doesn't matter. We get to running, and running's a little bit easier, but for me, going to the gym is not easy. Lifting weights with these guys who they can squat this enormous amount of pounds, and I'm over here like, I don't even know how to hold the thing and bend down and do it. How to get strong is hard. It takes effort, does it not? It's tough to get in good physical shape and good physical condition. So there you go, How to Get Strong with Jake Johnson. We can sell DVDs and videos and all that good stuff. But I want to talk to you this morning about something that's much more important than physical health, is spiritual health. How to be spiritually strong. You have to have a good balanced diet of prayer. You've got to have a good balanced diet of going to church and reading God's Word. But there's one aspect of it that none of us like to talk about and none of us like to experience, but it's so needed if we're going to be strong. So let's look here at the book of James. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So James here, he's starting off his book. Now this is, in the Bible we have James and John, son of Zebedee. They call them sons of thunder. This is not that James. That James and John were disciples. This James that wrote the epistle of James is the brother of Jesus. We don't hear much about him. He's not doing much during the time that Jesus was alive, and it's believed that this book was written at the very end of James' life. So I think that this book gives some crucial wisdom for Christians today. If you go out and read, we recently started this book in the high school class that I helped teach at Valley Forge. We started the book of James, and we talked about these verses right here that I'm going to share with you just for a little bit this morning. But he gives some great advice to Christians and some great advice to help you through troubles and tough times. And I think James learned that because he watched his brother Jesus. And so the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about James. We don't see him working miracles or doing things that Peter and John did. He's just kind of in the back. He's not talked about except in a couple verses earlier in the New Testament. But I think that he watched. He was sitting back and he watched how Jesus lived. He watched how Jesus was tempted 40 days in the desert. He sat back and he watched how Jesus lived his life and how Jesus did tough things and how Jesus did the good things and the bad things. And I think he watched how he lived his life. And then at the end of James' life here, he writes about it. He writes about how a Christian should live, how their life should be carried out, how that their faith should be tested and wisdom and all this different stuff. It's a great book. Grandma said on the way over here, everybody should read the book of James once a week because I think it's so crucial to how we should act as a Christian, how we should carry out us if we carry the banner of Jesus. But I want to talk about specifically those three little verses and how to get strong. Because so many of us are weak in this area. We have a good balanced diet of coming to church. We have a good balanced diet of God's Word and a good balanced diet of prayer. But we don't always like when those tough times come. And those tough times aren't anybody's fault. So many times in life, bad things happen. Unfortunate circumstances just happen because that's part of life. But then other times, because of your sin and your past mistakes, you've got to pay for the consequence of that. That's just the way that it is. Sometimes bad choices lead to bad things and bad trials and bad moments in life. And I want to talk about that today. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." So let's look at that for a second. He's saying, "My brethren." James is talking here to his brothers. It says he's talking to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So the 12 tribes of Israel are now scattered all over the place, and he's writing to them. My brothers, my people who are on the same page. James isn't saying that, you know what, I'm better than you, all of you that I'm writing to. I'm better than this or that, or I don't struggle with this, or I don't have bad times and I don't have trials. He says, my brethren. That's how he starts it out. My brethren, count it all joy. My brothers, my people. Us who are in the dirt together, us who are in the ditch together, us who are going through the tough times together. So he's not saying this from a lofty position. He's saying this as if he's all on the same level as everybody else. And I think he's writing to us so that we understand that it's the same thing. He says, my brethren, we're on the same page. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. Church, we're on the same page. I'm not definitely not any better than anyone here, and the same the way around. We're all on the same level. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. He says, my brethren, because we're all equal. Because no trial is greater than another trial or whatever goes on in life. But he says that he's learned his lesson. That he's gathered some wisdom and he's writing it down for us so that we can learn here in 2018 how our faith is tested and how to be strong. You've got the prayer, you got the Bible, you've got the church, but this is something that's so needed in Christians' life, is to be able to stand strong through those tough times. Because I know for me in my own life, when it gets tough, you just want to stop. You want to go to sleep, you don't want to talk to anybody about it, you just want it to stop. But James here gives some wisdom and some insight into, you know what, maybe it shouldn't stop. Maybe that tough time that you're in the middle of right now, or maybe that trial that you're going through, or maybe you've got some family problems or some marital problems or some kid problems. I don't know. Everybody's got problems, and I'm sure you've got some this morning. Those problems that you have, maybe they shouldn't stop. Maybe they shouldn't be just done with. And I'm going to tell you why. He gives us kind of a recipe, and I just want to break this verse apart, and then we'll go home. My brethren, so we're all on the same page. He says, count it all joy. That's tough. And if you just read this verse, my brethren, count it all joy, yeah, we should be happy in the midst of trials and go on. It's so easy for me just scanning through the book of James to do that, but if we break it down and it says, count it all joy, if we stop right there, you've got to count something. So if you're counting something, then you're focused on something. Then your mind is engaged to what's going on in life. So whatever trial you're going through, whatever tough time you're going through right now in life, you've got to think about it. You've got to count it. You've got to say, you know what, this is a trial. I'm going through a tough time. Not sit back and say, oh, woe is me. Why does everything bad always happen to me? We should count it as a tough time, and we should count it all as joy. The Bible says, count it all joy. I want to focus on that word all right quick. All. When is your favorite time? If you've been waiting in line for a roller coaster, which I don't ride roller coasters, I wouldn't be waiting in line for one. If you're waiting in line at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, the chicken that comes pre-blessed, because everybody loves Chick-fil-A. So you're waiting in line at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and you finally get to the end, and they give you your chicken, and you pull away. What's the best part of waiting in line for the drive-thru? When you get your food and you get out of it. So the best part, as far as we're concerned up to this point, the best part of a trial, the best part of tribulation, the best part of a tough time in your life is when? When you're coming out of it. When the situation is over, when you're getting out of it, when you're done with it, when it's gone, when people stop talking about you, when people stop spreading rumors about you and saying this and saying that, when it's done and it's over with, that's the best time. That's when we're able to be the happiest and able to be the joyous. But I think James is saying something different here. He says, count it all joy. Count every aspect of it joy. From the moment that you get in that Chick-fil-A drive-thru, count it joy to get to wait in line for that chicken you're about to get. When you're going through tough times in life, that as soon as you meet that trial, as soon as you recognize, you know what, this is not going to be easy. This battle with my family, it's not easy. This battle that I'm fighting at home or on the job or wherever you're fighting your battle, school, whatever, it's not going to be easy. At that moment, you should start counting it as joy. And this is so easy to say, but so hard to live out. Count it all joy, every aspect of your trial. The trial from the moment that it starts to when you're in the middle of it and it seems hopeless and God seems a million miles away, I'm here to tell you this morning, count it as joy. Now that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is caused by circumstances. When you get your chicken in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, that causes happiness because it's based on a circumstance that you just got that chicken. But joy is something much deeper. Whether you got your chicken and it was burnt or they didn't have any left over or whatever's going on in life, you still have that joy because you're saved and God gives joy like nobody's business. Because when you're saved and God's inside of you, you know what? Life is bad. Life may seem so impossible sometimes. Life may seem like you're never going to get out of it. But there's always that joy of, you know what, at the very end of it, if I lose everything in life, if my family falls apart, if my kids go wayward, if I lose my job, I'm still saved. I still belong to Jesus. I still have a home in heaven one day. That should be the very bottom of everything. I know it's tough to go through life. I've learned a lot here lately about life being tough and not easy. But at the very bottom of it, count it all joy. One, because there's heaven waiting. Because you're saved and no one can take that away from you and no one can touch that because that's something between you and God. I can't impact your salvation. That's only between you and God. I can't make you get saved. That's a decision and a choice that you've got to make on your own. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into temptation. Count it all joy because you're being strengthened. When you go to the gym, your buddies are over here lifting 300 and 400 and 500 pounds and you're just figuring out how to do it. Count it all joy because guess what? You've got to start somewhere. Your trials are strengthening you for something else in life. Whatever you're going through right now in life, that's preparing you for something else. So you've got to pass the test now before you can do that. You can't go into the gym and start lifting 500 pounds of weight if you've never been in a gym before. It's a process. It takes time. And that's something that you've got to count that as joy. You've got to look at that as a positive. So the next time something bad comes your way, or maybe you're in the middle of something bad right now, count it as a positive. You know what? Maybe it's a good thing that I'm going through this. Maybe it's a good thing that my life is falling apart. Because why? Because the Bible says everything, God works everything out for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. We can only see through one perspective. We can only see our problem and our situation from our eyes this way. But God sees it from above, below, and every other side. God has such a different perspective on whatever's going on in life that we can't see. That's why we should count it as joy, because if you're right with God, then your best is coming. It might not seem like it right now. It definitely might not feel like it right now, but your best is coming. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or diverse temptations. Same thing. I think that James is saying here that it doesn't matter. Satan doesn't pick and choose what he tempts people with. Did you know that, and I'm not giving the devil any credit, did you know that hell is very patient? Satan is very patient because he sits and he watches. And he watches you and he watches you in your daily life. And he watches you with your family and he watches you with your kids and on the job and at home and with whoever. Satan watches you. If you're super strong in an area, Satan's not going to come after you in that area. Satan's going to come after you at your weakest part, the part that you're not so sure about, the part that trips you up every time. Satan is very patient, and Satan is going to watch and see, you know what? Jake struggles with this. Or this will really trip Jake up. If I say this, or I do this, or I make this person do that, he's going to fall apart, all to pieces. That's what the devil does. And that's, I think that James is saying, various trials, as in, it doesn't matter. Satan is not choosy in what comes your way. Satan does not sit here and say, well, this can't happen to them. Never say never. Because you never know what could happen in your life. And you all know this much better than I do. I'm sure there's people in this room that things have happened in your life that you never, ever in a million years dreamed that would happen. Health problems, marital problems, whatever. There's stuff out there that you never thought would happen. Why would that ever happen to me? And then it happened. And your life fell apart. And you thought that you weren't going to make it. And you didn't know how much longer you were going to be able to stand it. But you're here this morning, aren't you? Those of you who have made it, you've made it out of it. And praise God for that. But somebody here today who's in the thick of it, in the middle of it, guess what? Just hold on, because the end is coming. Because there's going to come a time when you get to turn around and you get to look and you say, you know what? That trial, that bad thing in life, that awful thing in life, it was worth it. Because it changes you and it strengthens your faith. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Verse 3 says, knowing this, this is the reason you should count it all as joy. This is the reason that you fall into temptation. This is the reason that you fall into various trials, as the Bible says. Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. I want to focus on that word, patience. Patience has a synonym, a brother, and that word is steadfastness. And I want to focus on that word this morning. And if there was one thing that I want you to leave here with, it would be some steadfastness. I can't give you steadfastness. You can't give yourself steadfastness. Steadfastness or patience is only given by lifting weight, by being spiritually strong, by going through those tough moments and those various trials. That's the only way that you get patience and that you get steadfastness. Steadfastness is being fixed. Steadfastness is having a firm adherence to something. But notice something here. Steadfastness is not sitting. People think that to be patient is just to sit. Oh God, I'm going through this awful time. I don't know what to do. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for it to end. No. Patience and waiting and steadfastness, none of those are sitting. You're never still. So many times people get saved and they sit, when people should be saved and seeking God, or saved and doing these things for the Lord. But steadfastness and patience is not sitting and not waiting. That's lazy. Steadfastness is not waiting. Steadfastness is, you know what? I've got a God who promises the best for me. I may not see the best for me right now, but I'm going to continue on. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do what I'm called to do, regardless of whatever's going on around me. If you're called to be a father and your life is falling apart and your family's falling apart, guess what? You're still called to be a father. If you're called to work on this job and make sure that this project gets done, everything else in life could be falling apart around you. But you're called and you have a job and you've got to finish that job. Steadfastness is not standing back and saying, I'm going to do nothing. Steadfastness is not standing still. Steadfastness is being firm while you do what you're supposed to do. That's the same thing with patience. You can be patient, and the Bible is all full of waiting. Waiting on God to do this, waiting on God to do that. And that's the thing that I think that we miss most about prayer. God, I pray that you'll do this. You got to wait. Waiting is so hard, but waiting is not standing still. Waiting is continue to do the things that you need to do. Waiting is continue to pray for God while listening for God. Waiting is not dropping everything and just kind of standing around. If you're waiting on God, you've got to do the basic things that God has still called you to do. You've still got to pray. You've still got to be in God's Word. You still got to take care of your family, take care of your church, come to church, pray for those people. You've still got things to do while you're waiting. You still got to be steadfast. To be patient is to not be movable. That doesn't mean to stand still and not be movable. That means that your core values are not to be moved. When you're steadfast, a perfect example of someone who is steadfast is Job. If you read the book of Job, Job had a rough life. Job had a super tough life. He lost his family. He lost everything. But at the end of it all, he said, I count it all joy. At the end of everything, I would say Job was very steadfast. Life fell apart around him, but he held on to those things of God has got good promised for me, that I am saved, that whatever may come, that there's no weapon formed against me that can stand. That does not mean that it's going to be easy. If you're actually on board with Jesus and you're a part of this Christian walk, and if you have your neck out for God and you're doing things for God, I promise you it will be one of the hardest things that you'll ever do. But while it's one of the hardest things that you'll ever do, you will find no greater joy and no greater satisfaction in serving the Lord. There is nothing better than giving your entire life over to God. And I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. That's the farthest thing from the truth. It is going to be hard. It is going to seem impossible sometimes to follow Jesus. But I think James has given us some information here. He's given us some tips here that if you count it all joy, it will make it so much easier in the middle of that. It's so easy when when bad things happen. Is it not? Everybody knows those people that when something happens, they just don't know what to do. Their lives fall apart. James, that's not steadfastness. That's not patience. Steadfastness is a firm, and it's not sitting. It's not being swayed by your trial. So many times trials come in life and we say, God, are you even real? Like, why do I have to go through this? Who am I to say that I deserve this or I don't deserve that? The Bible says that I deserve death, hell, and the grave, that I deserve eternal punishment, eternal separation from God for what I've done. I don't deserve to tell God that I deserve this or I don't deserve that. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or brings about steadfastness. That when your faith is tested, when your life is falling apart, when you're in various trials, that's a test. And so God allows, I don't know why bad things happen. I don't know why hurricanes and tsunamis and tornadoes and all these things happen. But I do know that everything that happens in your life comes through the loving hands of a Father. Because God loves you. Because God wants nothing more than for you to be successful. There was a quote the other day that I was reading, and it said this: every trial that you endure has passed through God's loving hands, and one day when your faith becomes sight, you will thank Him for every difficulty. When you get to the other side of that trial that you're in the middle of right now, you're going to thank God because it's so much sweeter and you're so much closer and you're so much stronger. So I guess what I wanted to tell you today, it says, the trying of your faith work as patience, but verse 4 says, but let steadfastness have its full effect or its perfect work, that word, let there. So we said that you can't sit by and you can't just be lazy and stand still when you're going through bad things. You've got to keep doing what you've got to keep going. You've got to keep going on with daily life. You've got to keep going on with church in the middle of your storm. And it's one of the hardest things to do in life. But you've got to let patience or steadfastness have its perfect work. If you go to the gym or if you run, let's say you go running on a 5K somewhere, and you don't wear tennis shoes, that's probably not the smartest way to run. Your feet are going to, you're going to be a mess afterwards. Let's say you go to the gym and you don't do the correct position when lifting a weight. You can get seriously hurt if you lift too much weight the wrong way. If you don't have the right position or squat or whatever, however you do it, you can get seriously hurt with that. Your faith, your Christian walk can be seriously impacted if you don't let this trial be this trial in your life. If you try to, there's so many, let's take gossip for example. So many times you get word of people talking about you, so you oh goodness, I don't know what to do. So you go to 12 people and you start talking about other people. Did you know that hurt people? If somebody's hurting you, it's a natural instinct to say, well, I've got to say this about somebody else or spread that about somebody else. That's not how it should be. That's not how you should work it. The Bible says to let this patience have its full effect. So when you're in the middle of the trial, I'm here today to tell you and hunker down and hold on. Don't start spreading stuff about other people and causing bad things in other people's life, but hold on and let it do what it is supposed to do. God did not give you this test you're going through. God did not give you this pop quiz just to give you a pop quiz. God did not give you this to say, oh, well, we'll see if they do it or not. God gave you this so that you'll be strengthened. God gave you this so your faith will be built up. God gave you whatever's going on in life so you'll get closer to God. I hate that that happens. I hate that. I hate that God sends bad things in your life. But guess what? The worst times in your life time for and an opportunity for you to be closest to God in your life. It's but let patience have her perfect work. Exodus 4:14 says, you only need to be still because God fights for you. Whatever's going on in this trial, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, if you're right with God, guess what? You just have to be still. Now, this is not saying that you can't, this is not saying quit church and quit all these other things and God will work it out. You've got to do the things that you're called to do. You've got to do the things that are expected of you as a Christian. But as far as you fighting, you can't fight all those people that say bad things about you. You can't fight all those things that happen at your job. You can't fight those things that happen in your marriage. You can't fight those things that happen in your family. God can fight those things. And God wants to fight those things. So while you're going through this, whatever you're going through this morning, let God. Just let Him. Because if you let God, who is perfect and pure and real, then you'll come out on the winning side. Then you'll come out victorious. Right here at the end, right quick, it says perfect work. Your faith has got to be stretched. Your faith has got to be tested. Just like that muscle when you're lifting weights or those legs when you run. Tested. Your muscles burn when you lift weights. Your faith and your heart and your soul should burn a little bit. You should feel uneasy sometimes. You shouldn't feel comfortable when you're going through tough times. But I'm here today to tell you to just hold on. Just hold on to God. Hold on to His promises because you're going to make it through. Because you're going to get to the other side. Verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. I'm telling you, when you're in the middle of it, there is nothing sweeter than the peace that God gives and the peace that passes all understanding. Some of you have been through it in life, and you've been through tough things in life. But then a peace comes over you, and everybody else is like, what is going on with them? They're at peace, and their kids out here doing this. They're at peace, or their family's falling apart. They're at peace, or they just, what? That's something that only God can give. That's something that I'll never be able to explain. I'll never be able to tell you about how good God is. I'll never be able to tell you about how great His peace is. But if you let steadfastness, if you let the trial do what it came to do, it says you'll be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. That's not saying life's going to be easy or life's going to be perfect. You won't be wanting anything else. When you've been through a tough time and you come out of that tough time, there is nothing sweeter than coming out of that tough time. Do you know what I'm talking about? That puts everything into perspective. When God shows up and God does something for you, when you go through this tough time and you say, you know what, I made it. I made it through this trial. I made it through this tough time. I don't know how. Only by God's grace did I do that, because if it was up to Jake, I'd have fallen apart. But when you put Jake and God together, that team is deadly. One last verse I want to read right quick. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, here he said, this time Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, but he says the same thing because they're all on the same page. James says, my brethren. Paul says, brethren. He says, brothers, we're in this thing together. We're in this thing called life together, and it's not easy, but brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended everything. That he's not done everything. He knows that he doesn't have everything. He doesn't have all the knowledge. He doesn't have everything. But this one thing I do, forgetting those which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So whoever's here this morning and you're in the middle of whatever you're going through, on. It doesn't matter what's behind. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've said. If you were under the blood of Jesus, then your past is under the blood, and it's said, and it's done. I hate those people, and I hate the devil for trying to bring it back up. That's done. That's settled. Forever settled in heaven. God has no knowledge of that. He says, I'm forgetting everything that's behind. Paul's saying, I'm forgetting when I used to martyr Christians and hate Christians and persecute Christians. And I'm turning and I'm doing what I'm called to do, and that's go after God with everything that I've got, regardless of what's going on around him. So this morning, I want to tell you that you've got to press on, that you've got to go after God with everything that you've got. It doesn't matter what's going on around here or back here. There is a prize in heaven waiting for each of us. And if that, I think that's good enough to keep going. I think that it doesn't matter if your life falls apart here, but that's a good enough promise to keep going to tomorrow, to keep preaching, to keep teaching, to keep telling people about Jesus, to keep living for God. Is there is a promise of heaven. That there is a place where there's no more pain, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more dying one day. There is a place where you're with Jesus forever. So church, press on. Stick with it. Sister, if you'll come get a song ready or stand with me right quick. I don't know your different situations in this room. I don't know what you're going through. You have a choice right here. I want to open the altar up for invitation, or you can pray at your seat or however. But some of you are going through stuff in here. And you're going to sit there and you're going to leave this place and you're not going to do anything about it. There is so much peace and joy in just opening up to God and say, God, I have no idea. God, I don't know what to do about this situation in life. No matter how big or small you think it is, God's big enough and God's personal enough to take care of whatever it is. But get whatever it is with God. Get close to God about it. If you're not saved this morning and none of this steadfastness and trials and none of this makes sense to you, guess what? You've been wondering and you've been searching. Everybody who's not saved searches for satisfaction. Everybody that's ever been created, their highest goal in life is to be satisfied. That's why people sin. That's why people choose other things. That's why all kinds of stuff. That's why people choose drugs. That's why people choose homosexuality. That's why people choose pornography, because people's highest goal in life is to be satisfied. When you get a hold of God, there's no better satisfaction. I can't explain it to you. I wish I could. I wish I could tell you everything about it and so you would run and fall to God and so you would get saved and not sit and get saved and start seeking, but I can't. I can point you to a man who will change your life. I can point you to a man named Jesus who will get a hold of you in your trial. And if you look at him and he's looking at you, guess what? You'll see the storm all around you just like Peter, but you'll make it. So there's three people in this room that I want to encourage as they start to play. And then we're going to sing and you can come pray if you want to. But listen to these. One, some of you in here, it's going good right now. And I love when it's going good. Just a warning. If you're sticking it out for Jesus, it's about to get tough. You're going to go through tough things in life. So for those people who are in a good moment and you're getting ready to go into a bad moment or into a storm or into a trial, count it all joy. As soon as you recognize that this thing is from the enemy, as soon as you recognize that this thing is meant to destroy you, you know what? Instead of this being a bad thing, maybe this is an opportunity for my faith muscles to be stretched, for my faith muscles to be encouraged. That's the first one. Second one, and you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of whatever's going on in life. You're in the thick of it, and you don't know what to do, and your situation seems hopeless. Listen to me right now. Just be steadfast in whatever you've been called to do. Be steadfast in your families. Be steadfast in this great church. But just hold on, because it's coming. And for those people who are about to come out, about to come out of this situation, you're about to come out of it, you have a beautiful opportunity to praise God. To praise God for what He's done for you, for praise God how He brought you out of this, how He picked you up, how He turned you around, how He put your feet on solid ground. One thing I want to read right quick, and I read this on the back of your bulletin. Take it home, put it on your fridge. It's really good. It says, God meant it for good. Whatever you're going through today, God meant it for good. It says, until I learned to trust, I never learned to pray. And I did not learn to fully trust till sorrows came my way. Until I felt my weakness, God's strength I never knew. Nor dreamed till I was stricken that He could see me through. Whose deepest drinks of sorrow, drinks deepest too of grace. God sends the storm so He Himself can be our hiding place. His heart that seeks our highest good knows well when things annoy, we would not long for heaven if earth held only joy. If you only had good things in this life, you'd never long for more. Go ahead. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be here, God. This opportunity that we've been given to preach your word, God, out of James, Father. And I pray that at the very least today, someone will be encouraged, God. Someone who's in the middle of it. Someone who their life has fallen apart, God, that they're in various trials. Lord, we have a duty and a responsibility, God, to keep going. To be steadfast in the midst of pain and suffering, God. But Father, I pray for each of us that we'll count it all as joy. That we'll notice this trial and we'll say, you know what? This is here from God to strengthen my faith muscle. Or this is here from the devil to destroy me. Father, help our muscles to be increased, God. Strengthen our faith muscles, God. Strengthen our trust in you, God. Because it makes it easier, Lord. It may not seem easy, it may not seem good in the moment, God, but you've got our best in mind because you love us with the love of an unfailing Father, with the love of a God in heaven. We'll never know, God. We'll never be able to explain that. But God, I pray for protection for each person in this room, God, that you won't give them more that they can bear, Father, but that everything that they get, God, that they'll turn it back to you, Father. Protect this church from the enemy, God. Protect him from his schemes. Protect him from the principalities and the powers of evil, God. Protect Brother Tim and his ministry, God. Protect his name, Father, not for his name, but for your name's sake, God. Protect this church, Father, all for you and for your glory, God. Protect every person in here, God. Bless them as they go today, Father. Bless them as they continue on in life, God. Lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from the evil, God. Deliver us from the evil one. Father, we ask these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.